We are continuing our series called Unchristian, and basically we've talked about how Christians have a bad rap in our culture, and basically it's because they don't look anything like Jesus, they don't look anything like Christ, they look like something completely different so often. And so with that, we're trying to look at these things that aren't supposed to be part of Christians and point to what we are supposed to look like. And so this week we're looking at wise choices. And if you've ever turned on America's Funniest Home Videos, you've seen a lot of people who make really stupid, unwise choices. And luckily, they film it so we all get a laugh at them making really stupid choices. I mean, I don't know how many times you've seen people ski into a tree, fall off a, I mean, just doing the dumbest stuff, getting bonked in the head, and I mean, this is just what the show is, and it's been going for 20 years, and they're not running out of videos because people are still stupid and they're still making dumb choices. And so with that, we want to make sure that we as Christians aren't like the world making those same dumb, stupid choices. And America's Funniest Home Video stuff is just kind of silly, but there's a lot of stuff that's not so silly. Don't do that. And so the stupid stuff that so many people do so often, how can we avoid doing those things and use godly wisdom? I mean, I've seen statistic that the average credit card debt for college graduates is like $8,000, which is insane that by the time you're age 25, you've got $8,000 worth of credit card debt. And that comes from making choices along the way, starting young, that lead to large amounts of debt very early on. And so things like that, how can we avoid making those sorts of choices and the sorts of choices that all of us make if we don't think about otherwise? And so with that, we're going to see what the Bible has to say about making choices. And so here's a verse in Ephesians 5. It's a letter written to a church, and this is what Paul tells them about making choices. He says this, "For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise." And so you read that and you go, that's kind of a strange thing to say. What does he mean by awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead? And he follows that up by saying, make careful choices. Be wise in the way you live. What does that mean, awake, sleeper? Well, what I think what he's talking about here is the fact that so many people go through their lives not having a clue why they're doing anything that they're doing. They're just kind of like a zombie. I don't know about you, when I wake up in the middle of the night and have to go to the bathroom or whatever, I just kind of walk around and bump into things and kind of mumble to myself and punch the dog in the face because I think he's a robber and, oh, what's going on here? And yeah, I know, I really am. But it's sleeping me, so it's okay. Just kind of wandering around doing aimless stuff because I'm tired and I'm kind of out of it and don't know what's going on. So I do stupid, weird stuff. So many people go through their lives doing the exact same thing. They go through their lives, they have no idea why they're doing anything they're doing. There's no goal to any of it. They just kind of wander through life. You think, well, what are you talking about? Well, I mean, I don't know how many high schoolers I've run into. You say, what do? They wake up at 5 in the morning so that they can go to band practice at 6. Well, why are you in band? My friends are in band. Okay. Then they go to school and they take ridiculously hard classes and things they're probably never going to use. Well, why are you taking AP calculus? Are you looking to be an engineer? No, but it seemed like a good idea at the time. Okay. They could then go to sports practice after school for 2 hours. Why are you doing that? Oh, it's kind of fun. I guess I enjoy sports. Okay. Then after that, they go to their job to pay for their car. Okay, and then so they go to work, and they're there until about 11 o'clock at night. They get off work, and then they have to do 3 hours worth of homework. And this is coming from knowing a ton of people that are in this situation. They get 3 hours of homework because they're taking all these AP classes and honors classes for stuff. And particularly eighth graders, this is the sort of situations you'll get into, find yourself into. So you got homework until 2 in the morning. We just said this person wakes up at 5. So that leaves them with 3 hours of sleep. And they go 4 years of their life getting 3 hours of sleep. And you go, why are you doing this? Why are you doing all these things? Why is your life so busy? I don't know. It's good to have some money. So I got a job. It's good to have good grades and take hard classes. It's good to be in band, builds up, and they just kind of, why are you doing all this stuff? And it seems like a good idea. Well, there's lots of things that are good, but if you're not headed towards anything, if you're not looking to be a band instructor spending 4 years of your, if it's not something you're really passionate about, you're just kind of, oh, I guess I'll do it. 4 years of your life waking up at 5 a.m. is pretty extreme to me if you don't know why you're doing it. And so many people just go through their lives, why are you doing this? I don't know, everybody else is doing it. I don't know, it's what my friends are doing. I don't know, I did it in middle school, I guess I'll just continue doing it. And just give you an example of this. When I was in high school, I was in a thing called ROTC. It's a thing where you dress in like a military uniform and stuff like that. And I'm 27, I don't have a clue why I was in it. It was literally one day I signed up for it. It just seemed like a good idea at the time. 4 years of my life in this deal, I had to dress up in a uniform, which I didn't like doing. I had to cut my hair away. I didn't like having it cut. At the time, all I wanted was to do was grow my hair long. You've seen the pictures of me with long hair. For all of high school, I could not do that because it was an ROTC and I would fail the class if I did it grew my hair long. So I delayed what I wanted to do. Being in this course that I kind of didn't enjoy. I wasn't looking to be in the military, so it didn't point me towards anything. 4 years of my life doing this, 4 years of my life delaying growing on my awesome long hair. Why? I have absolutely no idea. It was just a whim that I had, and I just kept going with it, kind of going through my life like a zombie. Graduated, didn't know what I wanted to do. Kind of, I guess I'll go to ACC. So I go to ACC. What sort of classes did I take? I took microeconomics, which I don't need and couldn't use. I took audio engineering, which I used at church, but it didn't do me anything for graduating from college. Took creative writing, which didn't go through towards anything for graduating from college. Took intro to business, which did absolutely nothing. I mean, I just took all these courses for absolutely no reason because my friend told me, yeah, take this, this is probably a good idea. Okay, I'll do that. My friend tells me, hey, why don't we open a recording studio? Oh yeah, that's a great idea. I'll do that. I'll take audio engineer. I can open up a studio. And I just went through college for 3 years just doing random stuff. Why did I do all of it? No clue. There was no thought behind any of it. It was just kind of whatever was the latest idea. Oh yeah, that sounds good. And so I would do it. And so I was just kind of a walking zombie going through life, kind of, oh yeah, this is a good idea. Huh. Oh, and that was 4 years, that was more like 7 years of my life, no point, walking through my life, no reason behind it, just kind of sleeping through it, no careful thought. It was just so much of my life wasted doing so much stuff that amounted to nothing. I mean, I literally went off to Bible college about just 3.5 years ago, showed up, showed my transcript to my college advisor. She looked at it and she was like, what are all these classes? I don't even know what this stuff is. And so I graduated with all these extra credits that counted for absolutely nothing. That was money and time wasted because I couldn't use any of it for what I really wanted to do. And so with this passage, he's saying, you know, wait, wake up. Don't go through life walking zombie headed towards nothing. You need to understand the goal of your life. What is the goal and what are you headed towards and go towards that? And so obviously we're at church, so why are we here? Well, Jesus told us pretty clearly, go and make disciples. So to put it simply, we are here to grow closer to Jesus and help others grow closer to Jesus. That's kind of the end goal, and lots of things kind of fall underneath that. You need to be part of that is raising a family, so getting married, having a job, supporting your family. Lots of things fall underneath that, but the end goal, grow closer to Jesus, help other people grow closer to Jesus. So when you're making a decision, how, you know, what should be the goal in your life? When you're evaluating what you should do, one thing you need to do is ask the question, will this help me grow closer to Jesus? So we look at our example of the crazy high schooler with the overbooked schedule. So you wake up at 5 in the morning and immediately have to rush to band practice. You go to school and you're so overbooked or taking a bunch of really hard classes, which you don't need. Then you go and do sports. Then you go to your job. And then you go off and do your homework for 3 hours, get 3 hours of sleep, wake up and do it all again. So where are you putting Jesus in your schedule in something like that? Where's Jesus in the mix? I mean, you're just so overbooked, you're always tired, there's no time for anything, and therefore you have no time for Jesus. And that's a situation, I can tell you right now, some of you will be in that situation 3-4 years from now. And it's not that any one of those things are bad, but when you just pile everything on top of yourself, lots of good things, but when you pile all of them on, you just get such a busy schedule, all of a sudden there's no time for Jesus, there's no time for anything that's relaxing because you're just so overbooked, stressed out, and then you end up, you know, freaking out by the end of high school. And I have a specific person in mind from my years in student ministry that was in that exact situation. I met this person. Every time I talk to them, they're freaking out because they always have so much stuff booked. They've got to do this. They've got to do that. No, I've got to go home and do homework. Well, then I got to wake up early to do this. And they're just freaking out. Such a busy schedule. No time for Jesus. No time for family. No time just to relax. No time for anything, really, besides all this busy stuff they're doing. So what's the question? How do we do things which help us grow closer to Jesus, and how do we do things which help other people grow closer to Jesus? So we need to do some things when we're out around other people, but we don't need to do everything, in which case we just kill ourselves doing a bunch of weird, useless stuff. And likewise, sometimes it comes to, you know, what is a wise and what is a foolish choice? For example, I was reading an article about, you know, 3 weeks ago about this girl who's on Facebook. And I guess she got a bad grade from a teacher. And so this person thought, hey, you know, I hate this teacher. So it goes on to Facebook. And this is like a honors AP student. Goes on Facebook, starts a group, blank teacher is the dumbest teacher ever. Starts a Facebook group. Blank teacher is the dumbest teacher ever. Come and post your reasons why she's an idiot. So a very mature response. Starts this group. Everybody comes on and says, oh, you're kind of a jerk. This is a great teacher. What are you talking about? The school finds out about this group, calls the girl into the office. They strip her of her AP classes and give her a week of suspension, which the school is probably ridiculous for doing that. But she did something immature, and the consequence of that was that she got stripped of all these courses. All the stuff she'd been working for got taken away from her because she made one foolish choice. Her goal is to get into a good college. And now she's losing that because of a foolish choice. Whatever she was heading towards, with one foolish choice, lost it. She wasn't living her life carefully, just did something kind of stupid, and had huge consequences because of it. I mean, as you go along, you're going to run into people that are really smart. You might even know people that are really smart, can get good grades, but they do the stupidest stuff, and they have morons for friends who get them to do even more stupid stuff, and they face these huge consequences, and this smart person ends up in juvenile. I mean, once again, thinking of a specific person I went to high school with, really smart guy, could have gotten as good a grades as he wanted without trying too hard, but instead he gets into makes a bunch of friends that are morons, and he's doing drugs, and so he kind of like fails out of high school, or he just barely graduates, getting by on just on the fact that he's smart. So much potential, makes wise choices, doesn't live carefully, wrecks all of his chances of having a promising future just because he made foolish, foolish choices. So right now, the choices you make have huge consequences for your whole life. You set patterns right now for what your life is going to look like. And so, I mean, if we can just go piece by piece looking at different areas of our lives and how can we go in this area do something that will point us towards Jesus. And the way you spend your money. So right now, you guys don't have a ton of money, but what you do with your money now will kind of predict what you're going to do with your money when you have lots of money. So if right now you just buy all this sort of stuff to make you happy, when you get a job and you have lots of money, all you're going to do is spend it on stuff that makes you happy. And there's actually a movie that came out. I thought I'd bring the trailer. Came out this weekend.
When I was 7, most of my friends stopped believing in magic. That's when I first started. They were beautiful. They were happy. They didn't even need any money. They had magic cards. Rebecca Bloomwood. Dress, Zach Posen. Belt, Todd Oldham Vintage. Bag, Gucci. Thing when you see someone cute and he smiles and your heart kind of goes like warm butter sliding down hot toast. Well, that's what it's like when I see a store. Declined. Can you try again? Okay. Really declined. Bex. Look, I know I've made some mistakes, but I'm turning my life around. Fluent in Finnish. Everyone pads their resume a little. Sorry.
You took a job at a savings magazine.
Don't you think that's kind of ironic that Rebecca Bloomwood is advising people on how to handle money?
She needs Gucci boots!
I saw them first.
Give them to me!
What I really need is the black Vaniche shoe in the size 10.
You speak Prada?
This February.
This is a very important magazine. Is this where you should be?
I won't let you down.
Sometimes. sometimes you have to fight.
Anyway, so you get the idea, and you've probably seen it before.
That's a lot of problems.
And you say she has lots of problems, and the reason that people are laughing is because everybody knows everybody knows about 100 people exactly like her in that movie. I mean, I saw that trailer at the theater, and like everybody's nudging each other and going like, you, that's you, and oh, that's me, and I mean doing that stuff, because there's 5 billion people in the earth that are exactly like that. Addicted to spending money. Well, I gotta have shoes. With guys, it's electronics, video games, sports stuff. I mean, you just look around and everybody's these shopaholics. I have to have this cool thing. And you know tons of people like that with tons of debt because of it. And those sorts of decisions start right now. The way you spend your money now will predict how you're gonna spend it in a couple years. And what's going to happen is some of you, you're making a prediction, some of you are going to get a credit card young, and you're going to end up with lots of debt by the time you're age 22 because you're a shopaholic, and instead of making decisions which will help you grow closer to Jesus, you do something that's going to help you grow closer to lots of fun stuff that will make you happy. And so with that, by making decisions like that, you end up with all this debt, when you want to get married, well, you have debt, so you can't get a house, or you can't do this. You have kids, and you have financial struggles, and you run into all these problems because of choices you started making at your age right now. And it kind of goes with you. It just keeps going with you, whether it's spending money on clothes, buying electronics. You get addicted to having the latest and greatest stuff, and it just creates a problem. With me, I wasn't into necessarily big electronics, but I had a massive collection of thousands of CDs. Thousands of them. Just big stacks. I had to go every day. I had to go buy new CDs after work every day. I mean, so many CDs, it would literally take me 6 months to listen to all the music I had. Not a joke. It would take me months just to listen to the music I bought. And I kept buying more and more and more and more. Likewise, you know people that have 100 pairs of shoes, or more than that. 100 pairs of shoes. That means in a year, you could at best wear, you know, if you wore one pair of shoes every day, you'd only wear each pair of shoes three times. Three times. I've had this pair of shoes. I do have some other pair of shoes for special occasions, but this pair of shoes has been on my feet for almost everything for the last year or so. One pair of shoes. And so, I mean, we make these choices where we keep buying stuff, and we keep being addicted to shopping. We have to have more stuff, more, 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 and we just make choices that lead us in the wrong direction. Do you have a question?
My sister, she likes to spend a lot. And trust me, she spends. That's why I call her spoiled brat.
That's not the nicest thing to say to your sister. So,
but she does spend a lot.
I believe it, but there's a graceful way of saying maybe you spend too much money. But money's one way, and most of us spend a lot of money. Another one, like we've talked about a lot, is time. I mentioned this before, but the way you're booking your schedule, like I said, I'm not even talking about bad things. Obviously, if you say, well, you know, I'm going to join a gang and I'm going to hold up a liquor store, that's probably not the best way to help yourself or others grow closer to Jesus. If anyone in this room is thinking about joining a gang to rob a liquor store, I'm going to tell you right now, don't do it. It's an unwise choice. You're going to get yourself in trouble. But so obviously, things like that, you know that's an unwise choice. The problem is with all the good stuff out there. Being in band, not a bad thing. Playing baseball, not a bad thing. Taking good classes, not a bad thing. Being involved in everything the church does, not a bad thing. Good thing. I work at a church. I want to encourage you to do that. The problem is when you say yes to everything, your schedule's so booked, you don't have time for Jesus, even in doing your church activities, there's something wrong with that. So is what I'm doing going to grow me closer to Jesus? Or is it overbooking to the point that I can't get anything done? Same with your friends. If the people I'm friends with, am I helping them grow closer to Jesus, or are they kind of pulling me into their world of their gang world where I'm robbing liquor stores? That's an extreme, ridiculous example, but most people, you know, that are trouble, that are always up to no good, And obviously those people need Jesus and they need you to share Jesus with them. But if every time you're around them, they pull you down and you don't pull them up, then you shouldn't be around them until you're strong enough to be a positive influence in them and they're not a negative influence on you. So those are just some real quick examples. I mean, some other like simple things. We talk about we need to know our goal and we make choices based off what our goal is. So if our goal is to grow closer to Jesus, you need to make choices in line with that. Other choices, some other real quick examples. If you have a goal, I don't want to do drugs. That's a good goal. Then don't hang around people who do drugs. Such a simple, basic concept. You don't hang around people that do drugs if you don't want to do drugs. But so many people think, well, you know, they're fun to be around. I just won't do that. Well, you think that so many times until you say, well, I'll just give it one try. After one try, the second try is really easy, and then it just becomes something that you're doing too, and you're a pothead. Simple? Yes, you. I don't know why you said that about yourself, but that's up to, I don't know where you're going with that. That's not what I was thinking. But anyway, so when you hang around people who do drugs, that's a good way to get yourself doing drugs. Likewise, if you don't want a busy, ridiculous schedule, don't sign up for everything. You have to say no to some things, even some good things. Another one. Some of you guys aren't quite there yet. If you don't want to have sex till marriage, you don't be alone with someone you want to have sex with. Shh. Shh. That's very simple, straightforward logic. And you think I'm joking, but that's where most of you will be 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 4 years from now, 5 years from now. You'll be in these sorts of situations, simple logic, simple wisdom. Don't be alone. Or otherwise, things happen. And I can tell you a whole lot of stories about that. So with that, that's the how do we make wise decisions? Go through life awake, being careful. And the next part on this is what do we do with our various opportunities? And he continues on. He says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. So one of the problems we run into is we make dumb choices not because it's not that we make dumb choices, it's that we don't make wise choices. You don't do the things you're supposed to be doing, or you do things you shouldn't be doing to such a great level. For example, nothing wrong with video games. I have an Xbox 360. I play Call of Duty pretty regularly. But if you're playing that 3 hours a day, you're wasting huge chunks of your life. If you spend hours and hours a day texting people, messing around on Facebook, messing around on MySpace, you're wasting huge chunks of your life. And it's not that those things are bad. I have all of these things. But if you're doing it to such a great degree that you're just hours of your life every single day, this is just sitting there. What? Stop talking. If you're just doing it to such great degree, you keep doing it, then you're wasting away your life and wasting opportunities to do what we need to be doing, spreading the gospel, growing closer to Jesus, building relationships, growing into maturity, becoming a man, becoming a woman, because you're doing these things that aren't necessarily in and of themselves bad, but when you do them to such a great degree, that's when there's a problem. And likewise, you know, like at your schools right now, you're in a position right now, particularly if you go to public school, that it will never be easier to spread the gospel. From here on out, it only gets more difficult. When you're at school, if I'm in the cafeteria right over there, if, say, for example, the day that the kid picked up the tray and threw it across the cafeteria, he pegged 50 people in the head that need to hear about Jesus. 50 people by throwing one carton or one tray across the room. That's how many people that need to hear about Jesus are in that room. For the rest of your life, it's never going to be that easy to just run into people that need Jesus. You can run down the halls hitting people on the head. You need Jesus. They're everywhere. And, I mean, you don't have to reach out to everyone. Just pick one person and build into that one person. It's never going to be that easy. I live in a neighborhood. To spread the gospel to my neighbors, like walking up to the door, knock on their door, hey, you guys go to church? No? Oh. That's too bad. have you thought about going to church? I mean, like, to build relationships, to share the gospel with people? I mean, I have to go way out of my comfort zone, be very creative so that I'm not the drive-by, knock-on-the-door, you know, preacher guy or walking down the street, you know, mobbing people. Here's a track, about you need to know about Jesus. I mean, if I don't want to do that approach, I mean, you have to be clever. Clever about how to build relationships, how to do stuff like that. But with where you guys are at right now, you just every single day have the opportunity to build relationships, to spread the gospel. And so if we want to make the most of every opportunity, it's thinking right now, what do I need to do to help myself and others grow closer to Jesus? And so like I said, some things are really obvious. You don't go with certain opportunities. Oh, I could rob this liquor store, or I could not rob this liquor store. I'm going with between the two options. To make the most of that opportunity, you probably don't rob the liquor store. You don't want to go with things like that. But you're talking to talking to a friend. How can you move that conversation in a direction towards sharing the gospel with them? And it doesn't have to be drawing a diagram on a napkin and, you know, what do you love Jesus, you're going to hell. I mean, it doesn't have to be that. It can be as simple as just getting to know them, finding out what's going on in their life, and moving from there to sharing Jesus with them. It doesn't have to be a big production sort of deal. And the final piece on this, you know, where's our ultimate source of wisdom? Says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So he's contrasting two ideas, being foolish with understanding the Lord's will. Therefore, the idea is that if you understand the Lord's will, that's wisdom. Not understanding the Lord's will is being foolish. And there's a simple reason behind that. God loves you. God knows everything. Therefore, God knows what's best for you. Very simple, simple logic. If God knows what's best for you, wants the best for you, trust what he tells you to do. The Bible says do X. God probably has a good reason for that because he loves you and he wants the best for you. His reasoning in that isn't to lead you astray. It's to lead you towards greatness. He's leading towards better things. So we need to trust him. And that's one way we make what every time we choose to act against the Word of God, act against the Bible, we're making a foolish choice. And that's one reason we need to study the Bible, to know what is wisdom, to know what are good choices. So with the last few minutes, we just need to think about where you're at right now, the sorts of choices you're making. I don't know if you've had to turn it in yet, but you eighth graders at that place where you're making choices for high school, which are tough, big choices, which, guys, stop talking. There's been chatter right there all this whole time. Don't point at each other. Use your tongue. Don't point. Stop. This whole, you're making these choices for your life that are going to last and make and can make a huge difference on the direction that your life goes. I mean, like I mentioned, I was just kind of a doofus all through high school. No real reason behind what I was doing. I mean, I'm a pretty smart guy. I mean, I could tell you about tests I've done really well on. But when I was a ninth grader, I was failing Spanish and math class, not because I'm dumb, but because I made stupid choices. It was just stupid choices, didn't do my homework, didn't study, didn't apply myself, so all of a sudden I'm failing algebra. I mean, when I took math in college, I had one of the top students in the class, but little freshman high school math, failing it because I made foolish choices. So right now you're making these choices, makes a huge difference for the rest of your life. And when you're making those choices, you need to ask, will this lead me and others closer to Jesus? You need to ask, how is this going to point me, or how can I use this opportunity to move myself and others closer to Jesus? And what does God's Word have to say about this? What is God's will in this area? Ask those three things when making choices. When you're looking at your schedule, am I overbooking my time? Am I making choices which are going to get me in trouble? Am I making friends who are going to lead me into the ditch? You need to ask those things. And that's how we make wise choices. And that's how we don't end up like so many people, so many Christians who look just like the world, who've led themselves into all sorts of trouble because they're making stupid choices that are so easy not to make if you just start a habit of making wise choices. Let's pray. Dear Lord, when we talk about making wise choices, it's an issue that we all deal with. We all make foolish choices from time to time. We all do stupid stuff. But help all of us to be reminded of your word. Remind us to live carefully. Remind us to live in such a way that we're taking advantage of every opportunity. And I need this message as much as anyone else when it comes to making choices, because I've done so many stupid things, and I need to be reminded of your word and reminded to turn to you when it comes to making choices. And God bless our discussion time, and help us to apply this word this next week. In your name we pray, amen.